Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the favorite edition, the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Charles Cook of National Review Online in for Jim Garrity today. And Charles was with us a couple times last week during the Republican convention, reacting to the biggest speeches of the week, including on Friday after Mitt Romney spoke. And let's be honest, the most confusing speech and perhaps entertaining speech of the night, and that was Clint Eastwood. Not exactly any sort of Clint Eastwood moments last night, Charles, but I think the good news for conservatives is probably the news we were least expecting today, and that's that President Obama gave really an underwhelming speech. He's known as such a good orator, and I think he did okay with what the script was, but it was just not a very good speech whatsoever in terms of adding anything new or explaining why anything would change in the next 4 years. We'll get to some of the clips in just a second, but how did you come away from it?
I'm astonished. I agree with you. This is not the morning I expected. I thought he might do a good job. I think actually there are wider implications for Obama. For years now, conservatives have been complaining that we bought a dead parrot, to appropriate Monty Python. And all the shopkeeper could say was, well, he has a beautiful plumage, you know. And he doesn't really. I mean, he's a bit of a one-trick pony when you look at him. He's made the same speech for 4 years. He made the same speech when he ran for president. He makes the same speech everywhere he goes. He really is a man who just does one thing. He stands and makes speeches about how he should be elected president. He is president. He doesn't seem to have noticed that. And he hasn't stopped doing that. And then he talks about hope. And I think in one regard, it was so disappointing just because he hasn't changed in the slightest. And everybody seemed to get a feeling of, yep, we've heard this before, but the economy is in the tank.
So let's take a look at a couple of clips here. First of all, Charles, this is the one that I think took a lot of people aback. And this is his explanation of what you expected results in 4 years. Here's what he said last night.
Now, I won't pretend the path I'm offering is quick or easy. I never have. You didn't elect me to tell you what you wanted to hear. You elected me to tell you the truth. And the truth is, it will take more than a few years for us to solve challenges that have built up over decades. It'll require common effort and shared responsibility and the kind of bold, persistent experimentation that Franklin Roosevelt pursued during the only crisis worse than this one.
Charles, I'm not sure if 4 years is defined as quickly, but this is the president's own definition from about a month after he took office.
I'm at the start of my administration. One nice thing about the situation I find myself in is that I will be held accountable. You know, I've got 4 years.
You're going to know quickly how people feel about what's happened.
That's exactly right. And you know, a year from now, I think people are going to see that we're starting to make some progress, but there's still going to be some pain out there. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
So clearly it's these outrageous Republicans who are making these impossible standards for the timetable of a turnaround, but the president's own words kind of betray him there.
Well, it's amazing. He said in the first clip, he's never told us that it would be easy, and he's never told us that it would be quick. Well, as she just played in the second clip, that's precisely what he said. He's now running away from that. He's also running away from the things that he's actually done. There was no mention last night, nor once, no mention of Obamacare, which is his signature accomplishment, if you would call it that. There was no real mention of jobs either. So he's run away from what he asked us to judge him on at the beginning, and he's run away from what he's actually done. Again, he's running from the outside. He can't get it into his head that he is the president. He stood and said, I am the president at some point in his speech, but he doesn't behave like it. He doesn't speak like it. If you watched that, if you came down from Mars and someone said, watch this convention, you would presume that George Bush had been there for two terms and then Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan had been elected and this man wished to be elected president. It's quite astonishing.
As you mentioned, the president focusing his attention on Romney in particular, saying this is not an election that's really about his record. It's about a choice between him and Mitt Romney. And here's his attack on the Republican plan.
But I don't believe that another round of tax breaks for millionaires will bring good jobs to our shores or pay down our deficit. I don't believe that firing teachers or kicking students off financial aid will grow the economy or help us compete with the scientists and engineers coming out of China. After all we've been through, I don't believe that rolling back regulations on Wall Street will help the small businesswoman expand or the laid-off construction worker keep his home.
So, a couple of straw men there, Charles. First of all, I'm pretty sure Republicans were very much in the majority of extending student loan interest rates at the rate where they currently are. And in terms of regulations, it's always fun to watch politicians, and they do this in both parties, explain that if you don't like how they, in this case, reformed Wall Street, then you're just not for it at all.
No, the president has conflated quite grossly for years the conservative position with anarchy and his own position with limited government. He misrepresents conservative thinking. He did it there. You're right in saying Republicans caved on the student loan increases. Personally, I don't think they should have. I think that there is no good reason whatsoever for student loans to be subsidized at the expense of the economy. But the idea that had somehow Congress taken a tough action on student loans, that we would end up in some governmentless dystopia, as we heard last night, is obscene. I don't know if people are actually buying this. I sure hope not. I'm not sure independents are buying this. And that's probably his biggest problem last night. It's one thing to have the audience clap and holler as they were. But I don't know if middle Americans really think that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan wish to turn America into an episode of Mad Max.
There wasn't an official Republican rebuttal to this. There was one on Friday morning from the Bureau of Labor Statistics at the Labor Department, and this is our bad martini, and it's also bad for President Obama. One of the reasons for perhaps his muted rhetoric last night instead of the soaring verbiage that we're used to was that he probably knew we were going to see only 96,000 jobs added to the payrolls. Apparently, 9,000 of those are just from a single strike being resolved at a utility union, and the overall unemployment rate down to 8.1%. That's down 0.2. That's because you had hundreds of thousands of people leaving the labor market, and even the mainstream media is reporting that fact, which they've been reluctant to do at certain times. And so whatever the president was trying to sell last night was clearly smacked in the face by reality on Friday morning.
Yes, the jobs numbers are highly depressing. The White House, every time these jobs numbers come out, says, look, you shouldn't judge us based on 1 month. But we're not judging it based on 1 month. It's 40 plus months of over 8% unemployment. And Obama, if you remember, when the stimulus was passed, he said, we need this in order to stop unemployment hitting the heady heights of 6% or 5.9%, whatever it was. We can't blame the economy entirely on this president. And he did, as he loves reminding people, inherit something of a mess. But he responded to this with the stimulus, breaking contracts in the auto bailout, Obamacare, doing nothing on entitlements, class warfare, and passing no budgets whatsoever. And if you remember what they said at the time, they said, why let a good crisis go to waste? These job numbers are disastrous. You know, we could get 0% unemployment in this country if people keep leaving the workforce at the rate that they are.
Right.
But it wouldn't mean that the economy was doing well. And at the end of his speech, he seemed to offer very little to remedy the numbers that we heard this morning, other than the hope refrain, which really is just another word for blind faith.
And of course, if the labor force had the same numbers it had when he took office, I think the rate, Charles, would be north of 11% on the official unemployment rate. And of course, when you factor in those who have given up and those who are working part-time instead of full-time as they wish they were, it's even several points higher than that. So on to martini number three now. And if you liked our third martini yesterday, where Chris Matthews was speculating about Bill Clinton reproducing with Martians, we've got another one for you today. Yes, Charles, if you haven't heard it, that was Chris Matthews' comment on Wednesday night after the Clinton speech.
That's incredible.
His point was that Clinton is so good at connecting with people that he could go to Mars and instantly find a connection with them. But that was the connection he specifically referenced, which was interesting. Apparently down at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, members of the media were hoping to pick up campaign paraphernalia, souvenirs, if you will. But apparently Obama's worried enough about his fundraising deficit in the last few months with the competition against Mitt Romney that you have to donate to the campaign in order to get any of this merchandise. And so it's in this little secluded area off the convention where you have to go in and make a donation. And so there are folks telling the folks selling this merchandise, well, I can't really do that because we're members of the media and we have to stay objective. And the line from the person behind the table is, have you ever thought of making up a fake name? That's what the other guys do. And so, Charles, I don't know if that just means they kick in a couple of bucks because they want the nostalgia to put on their bulletin board at home, or whether this is the way the mainstream media gets away with kicking into the Obama campaign without the rest of us ever finding out about it.
Well, I think the instinct is interesting, that they wanted to pick up some paraphernalia. And I can't imagine that's wholly because they're independent, you know, historians who just wish to keep a part of a campaign that they've covered. It really is an open secret that the media is overwhelmingly liberal. Liberals like to pretend that that isn't true and obfuscate by talking about Fox News. But, you know, we saw this with the journalist scandal. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, there was a poll done taken of newspaper editors, and only 15% of them said they were Republicans. And in 2008, if you look at the donations, $1 million was given by workers within the media to the Obama campaign, and only about $160,000 was given by the members of the media to the Republican candidate. It's not really up for debate that the media does lean left. It's unsurprising to me that these people were trying to get hold of souvenirs, and it's all the more discouraging that the woman on the stand had clearly seen so much of it that she knew how to get around it. You remember that scene in Monty Python's Life of Brian where they're selling beards to women who want to go and stone the guy? You know, it was just such an open secret then how to do it. I don't know. It's depressing. It's difficult to know how to break through it.
Fascinating little side note to a convention that in some ways I thought was better organized and better messaged than the Republicans. But in the end, the guy everybody expected to bring down the House didn't get it done. And we'll see what the polls have to say. Romney didn't get much of a bounce. We'll see if Obama did. But my guess is it's going to be pretty much neck and neck all the way to the finish line.
The guy who brought down the House was Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Bill Clinton has upstaged Obama twice now. He's was a far more popular and better president than Obama is. And he really showed Democrats this week why he was so loved. I mean, you know, I don't agree with Bill Clinton on an awful lot of things, but you can't help but be impressed by the man. He can give a speech. Obama's really been sandwiched, I think, between two things that could hurt him. One is memory lane, looking at Clinton and so on, which could have helped him if he delivered a good speech. But that coming the day before these jobs numbers, I think there will be people out there who will say, okay, Clinton did it, Obama didn't, perhaps time for some new blood.
Well, that was the message from Clint Eastwood. So that's a good that's a good bookend between last Friday and this Friday. Charles, thanks so much for being with us today. Have a great weekend.
Great. Thank you so much.
Charles Cook of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity will be back with me on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.